Welcome to the C3 Church Camden podcast. For more information about our church, please visit www.c3wc.com. We are so thrilled that you're listening today, and we hope you enjoy the message.
All right. Well, we're going to get straight into our afternoon LCV launch this afternoon.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Excited. Looking around at all the names, I mean, so many faces there already connected with us in LCV. So we're kind of like preaching to the crowd a bit this afternoon.
Yeah.
But, you know, we wanted to take some time to pray this afternoon and launch, sort of have an official church launch for local community ventures. So we'll tell you a bit about that for those that don't know in a minute. But could I encourage you to take the opportunity once this is the podcast is up to share this with your friends and family as well, because I think that God has his hand on local community ventures, and it's a great opportunity to be an outreach to our community and inspire others to join with us in the journey of bringing justice.
So, yeah, it's not something we just thought of that was just, we launched because we thought it was a good idea. We've something that's been in our hearts, on our hearts. I guess really from the outset of planning
C3 Camden,
Camden, for those of you who were with us way back then, we've always, you know, and right through the years we've been involved in community through our community, through our area. But setting up this charity has something we weren't sure whether we'd be able to do even. And so it's great. It's really exciting.
Yep.
So we're going to introduce a little video from Pastor Phil and Chris, a little greeting that they've sent us. So let's just play that before we continue.
All right. Sure. Daniel's taking care of that for us. No sound. You might have to start again, Daniel. Share the screen with video and sound. I think you'll have to go back out and come back in.
Hey, Rowan and Jill. What a pleasure to be congratulating you today.
Yes, the work that you are doing is timely and needed, and certainly we congratulate you for all that you are doing in the community. It's just amazing.
We sure do. And I'm telling you, congratulations on launching this charity that's going to help so many people.
Yes.
As we understand it, it's a locally and registered charity running out of your church, obviously, which is the best way to serve the community, is to take it out of the core of the church, because of the people are engaged, the gifts of people can be involved.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, we're going to see the three locations of C3 Camden, Thirroul and Picton, the one church, three campuses, putting this charity together. And as I said, as we understand it, we'll provide fresh meals, grocery boxes, chaplaincy, women's community group, Christians Against Poverty programs, school projects. What a wonderful initiative.
Yes, congratulations.
And we are praying for you and believing with you for the blessing of God to be upon you, to open doors for you as you knock on them in schools and in various situations in the community, that they will open to you and that you will find that this is a bridge for the gospel to reach into people's lives and help them draw near to Jesus.
Yes, amen.
So God bless you. We're praying for you and believing with you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thanks, Daniel. A little bit stop start, but it's all right. We got there. So you got that was a bit of story. You were talking to Pastor Chris at National Conference, weren't you, about that? And
And she was asking how the community was going out at in the Wilindilly and Whingycarabie after the bushfire crisis of end of 2019, early last year, and of which, you know, C3SYD, their locations, had contributed $40,000 towards. So you would have already heard us talk about this. We had almost $170,000 come in between funds from C3 across C3 Australia, and also some funds from Elevation Church in America, which was amazing. So she was chatting to me about that, asking how that was going in the community out there since the bushfires, and And yeah, we were chatting and I was mentioning to her that
we had just found out that Shireen had done all the hard work.
Yeah, that we just
the
found
hard
out.
Yards, getting the admin right. done.
And so they were really, she was really thrilled about that. And yeah, Pastor Phil and Chris do have a real heart for, they've just got really kind hearts.
Yeah.
And they have God's heart, we believe, for the vulnerable and for the needy.
Yeah, they've always had that, haven't they?
And so, yeah, so that was really nice that they did that for us. But, yeah, so with, I guess, as I was saying, with the launch of this, you know, many of you already know a bit about LCV. So it's quite different here this afternoon as it was this morning in Thoreau, where it's all quite a new concept there. We went into explaining a bit more about the background, I guess, because at Camden we've already had community involvement. Really, it's not going to, and Pastor Edwina is going to talk into it a little bit in a moment into what is happening on the ground, you know, in Camden with our projects right now. But it's not really new to us here. It's something we've talked about, and it's something I think that is already embedded into the life of this church. But what it means for us to have LCV as a you know, set up is that it's a registered company, limited by guarantee, and it has a constitution. It has its own board, currently with four board members, and
all of them are on.
And yeah, and Rowan and I are co-managers of LCV, as we are senior ministers. We're also, because we are co-senior ministers, we're also co-managing LCV. So far we have one staff member, and that's the amazing Emma Rowe.
Woo!
And who has been able to, and you know, we just know that God is in this, because we're all you know, all of us have got other things that have got going on. So when God gives you an idea or something to move forward with, you're like, well, how's that going to happen? And we knew that we didn't really have the time and the capacity to put all the work in that needed to be done to get it to where it's at. And so we wanted to be able to put someone in a staff position to do that very.
So we had Shireen helped us in the early days with the constitution and set up. Thanks, Shireen. And then the board with Brian, and it's currently Brian and Jimmy and Daniel Kalako and myself, but we're going to grow that board. We've already got some ideas across all the locations to grow that board. We had a board meeting this week and then bringing Emma on. So there was, it's just been a lot of admin behind the scenes, isn't there? Which is getting, shout out to Emma. Amazing work you're doing.
So thank
Emma.
You, Emma, for doing
it. We were bragging on you in the board meeting the other night.
Yeah, so great.
And yeah, it's been great.
So I just wanted to let you know sort of what is in the constitution that that is a, you know, tells us what our charitable purposes and powers are. Because to be a registered charity with deductible gift recipient status, there are some, we have to abide by it. We have to sit under this. So I'm just going to tell you what that is so you know. So it's charitable purposes and powers. The company's object is to pursue the following charitable purposes. 6.1, to provide, listen to this wording, and this is a secular wording, but how much does this sound like?
This is God, God, isn't it?
To provide services that aid in the relief of poverty, sickness, suffering, distress, misfortune, destitution, or helplessness of people, wherever, I always struggle with this word.
Wheresoever
they may be found in Australia, without discrimination due to age, sex, race, ethnic background, religion, political beliefs, or marital status.
I love that, because that's Jesus' heart.
I know, so good. 6.2, to operate as a public benevolent institution, any tax-deductible gift or contribution to the company must only be used for the principal purpose for which it has been granted deductible gift recipient status.
So all that to say, we're able to get funds other ways, but any funds that are given with a tax deductible stance have to be used specifically for those. So there might be sort of parallel things we might be able, like Emma's got a funding grant into Wallanderley Council at the moment, and we're looking at doing that, but that won't be tax deductible giving, and it's parallel, but any funds specifically given we use for those purposes. But
and that just gives us the frame through which we can operate. So we look back at when we talk about projects and ideas and things that we could consider doing, we look at that wording, and we say, well, is it providing services in the aid of poverty, sickness? That's what we look through.
Read those again just quickly. Poverty, sickness,
suffering, distress, misfortune, destitution, or helplessness of people.
Wow, it's big. Yeah.
Wherever they may be in Australia.
Yep.
So I just want to let you know, as I've been reaching out to, particularly in Thoreau, because we're introducing ourselves, it's quite new, and we're not really known in the community, and the idea of having a a charity connected to the church is a new concept. So I've been reaching out to some of the other agencies and the and MPs and etc. And I just wanted to let you know, I thought rather than just put it in my own words, I'll just read to you what I'm telling them LCV is, so you know what we're saying, what we're saying in the community, what we're about. And this is very basic language. Our aim for LCV is that as a grassroots organisation, we'll be able to work across the broad spectrum of areas where there is need and where we have the capacity to offer assistance. We see ourselves working alongside other agencies and groups and hopefully being able to help in filling areas where gaps might exist. We plan to help in practical ways such as food distribution, emergency relief support, as well as utilising our volunteer base and funds to run programs, groups, training, and whatever else we may have the opportunity to do and where we may be able to assist. So
all that to say, we're not about, and this is what Duane is going to share now, you know, we're not about setting up something as we are the answer, or we're about networking, and you know, you guys at Camden are already doing that so well. So networking with other organizations. So Pastor Duane, why don't you share a little bit about what's been happening over the last few months?
Yep, no worries. Thanks, guys. And many of you guys would know, you know, prior to the lockdown, prior to COVID, we had some things going. We talked about the hampers that were for the Spring Farm families that had been running prior to the lockdown. We had a CAP Money program running prior to the lockdown. We had Kids Hope, which was the mentoring that was just about to start off in Spring Farm. And then we also had this Wakakiri, which was the kind of community creative arts outreach. Now, all of those things due to lockdown seem to really slow down or cease. Now, we could just look at that and think, oh, COVID's got in the way, we'll just pick it all up afterwards. But during this time of lockdown, all those things have not only continued in some way, but have expanded. And it reminds me of verse out of Philippians 1:12, where Paul, the Apostle Paul, he says, I want you to know, believers, that what has happened, and we'll insert COVID lockdown, what has happened, it was meant to stop us, but it's actually served to advance the spread of the good news. So this has actually been a time of exponential growth in some of those programs. Even though with our Wakakiri, this creative arts community program that had to be postponed and then it was cancelled, but that team has continued to touch base with the kids in the school. They've continued to provide community and connection for those families through this whole time. And that's planned to expand further into next year. The team continues to deliver hampers to Spring Farm families that have really needed that, and that connection with the school has strengthened and grown in that time. And we've also developed a partnership with the Art Centre Cafe at Campbelltown and our local school chaplains, all who we didn't have connections with prior to this season that we're in. We're able to expand that program of food delivery throughout this time. We've been providing close to 400 freshly cooked meals a week have been delivered out into our community. And that's been through two local high schools, three local primary schools, also with an affordable housing community, Narrowling at Narellan. We've been able to drop meals in there as well. And just to give you a bit of a, that community, Narrowling is all sorts of people who live in that community, but especially people who are at risk of homelessness. There's families exiting domestic violence situation. There's a high population of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander families in there. And so the expansion of our partnerships, and I think this is something really beautiful, and it's a beautiful picture of the kingdom of God, is just as Pastor Rowan said, it's not just about us doing our thing, but it's the partnerships that have gone out into the community. It's the way that God has just ordained these partnerships. And I keep saying to these people, to these chaplains, to the people that we meet, that we're better together. And that is so true. So all of these things that have actually expanded and grown during this time has now given us scope for future possibilities. And we know that things will shift and change as we come out of lockdown, and that potentially there'll be a shift in delivering these fresh meals. But already the school chaplains are talking about ways that we can partner with them in the schools and look to champion them in their roles and what they do in the schools. And then that provides even more support than we can do on our own to the vulnerable families in at least 5 or 6 local schools in our area. We're looking at the possibility of working with the Arts Centre Cafe team and Narrowling. We'll be able to bring those two together and looking at the possibility of doing some food preparation skills training and coming in and connecting those who need to learn how to cook and increase their independent living and these beautiful chefs who've been cooking for us in such a great way, and bringing those two things together and providing skills and equipping and running a program there. And Narrowling also have up to 50 children that live in that community. And they've approached us to say, look, we would love to partner with you and be able to do more things with these kids in this community. So there's all these opportunities that are opening up that are coming in, and we may or may not be able to do all of them, but we want to give ourselves the best position through being at the support for LCV and getting it out into the community, and for you guys jumping on board, that when these opportunities come up, and that we can consider them and we can say yes or no or be able to jump on board, but we don't want to be limited by the funding. We believe that God is behind these opportunities and is going to bring in the resource to be able to do that. So there's really exciting days ahead, I think, in all of these areas. And it hasn't been a time of shutdown. It hasn't been a time of retreat or retraction. It's been a time of expansion and connections and opening doors. So we're really thankful for that time. And thank you to you guys. I know many of you have been on the ground helping in those projects. I know many of you have been praying for those things. And let's continue just to get behind it as a church and continue to thank God for these opportunities that are coming into outreach into our community. So that's a very, very quick update. I feel like that's been a condensed version of the last 5 months. It's just been crazy how it's expanded, but God's working and he's moving, and there's some amazing things happening in our community.
Amen. Yeah, looking around at all your faces and I'm thinking, I know so many of you have been engaged and have a heart. So credit to all of you who are contributing. As I say, this is really about us taking it now and launching it and praying and expanding it. So
I forgot to say before, when I was talking about Emma's position, was that that was a miracle, that provision, financial provision,
right.
For that, specifically for that came in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is amazing.
We've already seen some significant donations coming in and across the locations, and so we're just believing for more. We'll talk about that in a moment. Daniel, could you just make my main computer a host as well? I might try sharing that video, see if it'll work for us, if that's all right, rather than just my iPad as well. Still says host has disabled screen sharing. Okay, I'm a co-host now. So some of you have seen this video before. This is my favorite Bible Project video, but it's so applicable for us to get the heart of what God is passionate about with regard to this area of justice. So we're going to watch this video, and then I'm just going to do a little devotion, and then we'll explain how we can engage and spread the word more and more about LCV. So let me see if I can share my screen now. I'll share this one. All right. Hopefully this will work okay. All right. Let's see how we go.
If you were a praying mantis, it would be socially acceptable to devour your mate.
And if you're a honey badger, you have no regard for other animals. You don't care.
If you're a panda with twins, it's normal to abandon one to take care of the other.
But if humans do any of these things, we would call it wrong, unfair, or unjust.
Yeah, why is that? Why do humans care so much about justice?
Well, the Bible has a fascinating response to that question. On page 1, humans are set apart from all other creatures as the image of God.
Yeah, God's representatives who rule the world by his definition of good and evil.
And this identity, it's the bedrock of the Bible's view of justice. All humans are equal before God and have the right to be treated with dignity and fairness no matter who you are.
And that would be nice if we all did that. But we know how the world really works.
And the Bible addresses that too. It shows how we are constantly redefining good and evil to our own advantage at the expense of others.
Yeah, self-preservation. And the weaker someone is, the easier it is to take advantage of them.
And so in the biblical story, we see this happening on a personal level, but also in families, and then in communities, and in whole civilizations that create injustice, especially towards the vulnerable. But the story doesn't end there. Out of this whole mess, God chose a man named Abraham to start a new kind of family. Specifically, Abraham was to teach his family to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice.
Yeah, doing righteousness, that's a Bible word I don't really use. But what comes to mind is being a good person.
But what does that even mean, being good? The biblical Hebrew word for righteousness is tzedakah, and it's more specific. It's an ethical standard that refers to right relationships between people. It's about treating others as the image of God.
With the God-given dignity they deserve.
And this word justice, it's the Hebrew word mishpat. It can refer to retributive justice.
Like if I steal something, I pay the consequences.
Exactly. Yet most often in the Bible, mishpat refers to restorative justice. It means going a step further, actually seeking out vulnerable people who are being taken advantage of and helping them.
Yeah, some people call this charity.
But mishpat involves way more. It means taking steps to advocate for the vulnerable and changing social structures to prevent injustice.
So justice and righteousness are about a radical, selfless way of life.
Yeah, and you find this idea all over the Bible. Like here, in the book of Proverbs, what does it mean to bring about just righteousness?
Open your mouth for those who can't speak for themselves.
And what do these words mean for the prophets, like Jeremiah?
Rescue the disadvantaged, and don't tolerate oppression or violence against the immigrant, the orphan, and the widow.
And like here, look in the book of Psalms.
The Lord God upholds justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry, and sets the prisoner free. But he thwarts the way of the wicked. Whoa, he thwarts the wicked?
Yeah, in Hebrew, the word wicked is rasha. It means guilty or in the wrong. It refers to someone who mistreats another human, ignoring their dignity as an image of God.
So justice and righteousness is a big deal to God.
Yes, it's what Abraham's family, the Israelites, were to be all about. They ended up as immigrant slaves, being oppressed unjustly in Egypt. And so God confronted Egypt's evil, declaring them to be rasha, guilty of injustice. And so he rescued Israel. But the tragic irony of the Old Testament story is that these redeemed people went on to commit the same acts of injustice against the vulnerable. And so God sent prophets who declared Israel guilty.
But they weren't the only ones. There's injustice everywhere.
Yeah, some people actively perpetrate injustice. Others receive benefits or privileges from unjust social structures they take for granted. And sadly, history has shown that when the oppressed gain power, they often become oppressors themselves.
So we all participate in injustice, actively or passively, even unintentionally. We're all the guilty ones.
And so this is the surprising message of the biblical story. God's response to humanity's legacy of injustice is to give us a gift, the life of Jesus. He did righteousness and justice, and yet he died on behalf of the guilty. But then God declared Jesus to be the righteous one when he rose from the dead. And so now Jesus offers his life to the guilty so that they too can be declared righteous before God, not because of anything they've done, but because of what Jesus did for them.
The earliest followers of Jesus experienced this righteousness from God, not just as a new status, but as a power that changed their lives and compelled them to act in surprising new ways.
Yeah, if God declared someone righteous when they didn't deserve it, the only reasonable response is to go and seek righteousness and justice for others.
This is a radical way of life, and it's not always convenient or easy. It's courageously making other people's problems my problems.
This is what Jesus meant by loving your neighbor as yourself. It's about a lifetime commitment fueled by the words of the ancient prophet Micah. God has told you, humans, what is good, and what the Lord requires of you is to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God.
All right, you're not just moving out of the way for the sake of it, just giving me a bit of space. I love that video because it is the heart of God. Right? When I first saw that video about 5 years ago or something, I thought, why didn't anybody ever teach this to me? Why was I never taught that this is such a fundamental part of the gospel? You know, we make it a big deal about to Jesus and bringing people to Christ. But yes, the imagery is helpful. That's right, girls. I mean, that's what I love about it, this whole concept of how disparity happens in society and how our job is to bring back that sense of dignity to people. And, you know, I thought, I've never been taught it to that degree. And yet, you know, we had the heart for it and we were involved in that. And so over the last few days, while I've been building my deck out the back, I've had the opportunity to pre-listen. I'm actually not reading, I'm listening. Siri is listening, giving me a chance to read Mari's biography that she's written along with Jenny Marsland. And Mari, I just want to say, brilliant, absolutely inspiring. You're going to have a chance to hear Mari's book when it's released soon. And it is just so well written. It's inspiring, it's heartfelt, and just to hear how the journey of this lady who's been passionate about justice all her life and has for many, many years, you know, fought for the needs of others. So well done, Mari. We love you. Thank you for all your faithfulness. It's going to be a great read, definitely worth reading. And so I've had that privilege of having a listen to it out the back. And I just want to take a couple of moments now and just share a devotion around that. And I thought to do that, I'd just really quickly pick up on that final passage that they quoted there in the Bible Project. I'm just going to see if I can share my screen on iPad now, because it looks like it's kicked me off. Can I share my content screen? Yes, let me see if I can share my Bible screen. Okay, we're in business. Good. So I want to pick up just quickly, do a devotion on this passage in Micah chapter 6, those verses that Tim Mackey read right at the very end of that. This is all over the Bible. That's what I didn't realize. I think, you know, people would say, oh, the prophets are all judgmental and harsh and not relevant. But once you understand what the role of the prophets in the Old Testament, you know, that part of the Bible that hardly anyone reads, the back half of the Old Testament, once you understand what they were about and what they were trying to do, the harshness comes out of it and you realize this is the heart of God. You see, the people of Israel, as you saw in that video, had been taken out of bondage themselves, had been released from injustice, and were then called to be God's people and bring justice. And they had signed up to do that. They had said, we're going to live by this standard that God has for us. It was in the law. But they failed. Time and again, they failed and they re-instigated unjust systems in place. And so every prophet would come along and God was calling them out and saying, it's time for you to return to me and return to your purposes that God called you for. And so once you understand that's the role of the Old Testament prophets, they're calling out, they're strongly speaking out against Israel's failure to do that. And at the same time, many of the prophets are foretelling Jesus and foretelling the time when Jesus, the servant of the Lord, Isaiah says, will come and ultimately bring that justice and bring that truth and those kingdom values to the world. And that has come in Jesus. And now it's our job, mandated by God, to live that out. And sometimes we don't. I think part of what the problem is with the Christian church is we've made it all about, you know, oh, saving souls, saving souls, saving souls. And that's the beginning of the journey. But being instruments of God's justice is actually the final purpose in that journey. And so I want to read these verses out of Micah chapter 6 really, really quickly. And let's have a look at it. I'm not going to have time to go into all of it, but let's just see how we go. So God is speaking to his people. One of these, Micah's speaking to God's people about their unjust treatment. He says, oh, my people, what have I done to you? What have I done to make you tired of me? You see, the problem was, as is still the case today, these people who'd said, yes, we're going to live for God, somehow became self-absorbed. They became idolaters. They became self-focused on their own comfort at the expense of others. And oftentimes it's intentional, but other times, as the video said, it's that they were benefiting from unjust systems. And that is still a problem today. You know, in the West, we can say, oh, we're not racist and we're not this, but we can actually benefit from systems that are set up under principles of injustice. And part of our call is to unwind that. And so that was the problem. They had lost touch with God. He says, I want you to remember what I did for you. He's telling them, remember, I brought you out of slavery. Remember, I redeemed you from being in Egypt yourself. Remember that I sent Moses and Aaron and Miriam to help you. Don't you remember when you were in the desert that the king Balak wanted to come and curse you and he hired Balaam, but I protected you even in that place of, it seemed, lack, I provided for you. looked after you. I watched over you. I protected you from injustice. I turned around the blessings and the cursings and made them a blessing instead. And then when you were in Acacia Grove about to cross into the promised land and Moses gave you the law, the book of Deuteronomy, like the second law, and he gave them a set of standards. It says, taught you about my faithfulness. I taught you what it means to be a faithful follower. Remember that, how I delivered you into the promised land. And yet he says, you seem to have forgotten all that. And you're going into this religious mode of church life and even generosity in itself and things that can look spiritual. Is what the problem was. Israel were doing things that looked spiritual, but they had neglected justice. They had neglected faith expressing itself through love, as Paul says. So then there's this couple of verses about spiritual practice. What can we bring to the Lord? What should be a response to everything God has done for you and I? What should it be? Four times it says, should we? Should we bring burnt offerings? Should we bow? Should we offer him thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? None of those things were in and of themselves bad for the Israelites. There were times when they did offer lots of sacrifices and they did those things. So it's not that they were bad. The problem was they had disconnected them from God's heart and they had made them about some kind of religious practice to appease God or some kind of half-hearted thing, but their heart was in it. I mean, Isaiah puts it this way. He says, God says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Time and again, that was what was going on. And into that religious practice, even should we get so intentional about our sacrifice that we sacrifice our children? And then we come to this verse 8. My pastor, Bob Foister, who discipled me, he used to say, Rowan, Micah 6:8 is the Bible in a verse, the Bible in a verse. And I've never forgotten that. He says, should we do all this stuff? And then God speaks, he says, no, listen, I want to tell you, the Lord has already told you what is good. What's the right thing to do? He says, this is what he requires of you. This is what God expects of you. Now, in the New Testament, friends, we separate that out. We've made it all about, it's about a relationship with God and it's about not doing anything. We don't get saved by doing things. And there was a time when that was necessary because through the dark ages, it was all about doing and as though the good works and the giving to the poor and all that, somehow giving to the church, somehow that's what made you righteous. That's what they were teaching. And along comes Martin Luther 500 years ago, and he says, that's not how it is. We're saved by grace, apart from works. We're saved by grace through faith, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. But we stop at verse 9 of that verse because verse 10 says, you've been saved by grace through faith, not because of what you've done, but you've been saved to do. You've been saved for good works, which God prepared in advance. And I think at times we've lost sight of that. We've made it all about bums on seats in church. We've made it all about people raising their hands as though that's, we got so many people saved today. That is the beginning of the journey. The journey is people finding their purpose and bringing justice, standing up against injustice. So here's the three things that God says is what he requires of us. This is why Bob used to say this is the Bible in a verse, to do what is right or to act justly, to do righteousness, to do tzedakah, as it says, to do righteousness, to love mercy and to walk humbly. Three things: act justly, love mercy, walk humbly. So doing justice, not just doing righteous things or being a righteousness in Christ, actually doing righteous things, actually restoring justice in the world. That's the first thing God requires. The second thing is to love mercy. I know over all my years in community services, I used to have people say things like, all those people, they're all just dole bludgers. Oh, they brought it on themselves. And anyone who's been involved in community services knows that that's not the case. So many people fall on hard times. I can't remember how many CAP clients we used to see who were working and then things just happened. Or maybe they've been raised in a cycle of unjust or a system that is against them. But here's the point I used to say. People used to go, it's all their own fault. And I used to go, well, so what if it is? I remember saying several times to people, so what if it is? Because while we were still sinners, while our hearts were far from God, he loved us. So even if it is their fault, that does not excuse us from loving mercy. Loving mercy is the key there. Mercy means giving something to someone, extending something to someone. If we love mercy, we're not judgmental or critical. We're extending it. You know, Cain said, I'm my brother's keeper. The story of the Good Samaritan is a picture of this. There's nothing, we don't know anything about this Good Samaritan. He might have brought it on himself, but the story about the guy who's the victim in the story, the point is, it doesn't matter how bad the victim was, the story was, regardless of who he is or what he's done, you still got to love mercy. You've got to be like the Samaritan. So what if they brought it on themselves? That doesn't excuse you and I from being a bringer of justice. And the third thing is to walk humbly with our God. And this bit's important because we live in an era when when justice is a catchphrase, probably one of the few times in history where social justice actually exists exempt from the Christian church. The reason we live with justice in our nation is because of the Judeo-Christian ethic that has undermined our world. And you'd be hard-pressed to find another time in history when the society is passionate about justice. But here's the problem. If we have justice apart from God, if we aren't walking humbly with God, we will see what we're already seeing, which is some people are so passionate about justice that they don't realize that their passion is becoming injustice towards others who have a different view to them. So sometimes they're judgmental and they're harsh in the name of justice. And so I wrote here, social justice separated from God can look like justice for a while, but in the end, it becomes its own form of injustice. So there's three things: to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. I'm going to skip through everything else. I used some stuff, extra stuff in Thrill. If you want to read another great passage, just read Isaiah chapter 1. I just read this morning. I'm not even going to do it now. Where we are? Isaiah chapter 1, note to self, from verse 10 through to verse 17. And look at that verse. That looks like Micah 6:8 there. Learn to do good, seek justice, help the oppressed, defend the cause of orphans, fight for the rights of widows. That is the beginning of Isaiah's message, the very first chapter. This is fundamental to God. So what I'm going to do is just post up on screen there. You guys can see that image. I won't have to worry about Daniel sharing it with me then. This is our launch day for LCV. And so there's two QR codes there. One, we were looking for our people to contribute. And we don't have the luxury, friends. I want to talk like a prophet now. We don't have the luxury to just sit back and go, whatever. If we're called by God, we have a responsibility to do justice. So, you know, some of you are contributing to Mari, doing work with Mari overseas. Others are sponsoring Compassion. So this isn't about putting a heavy for that. But this is about asking God, each of us asking God and saying, is this some area where I can do, is there something in this area where I can strive together to bring justice? And so if that's you and you're feeling prompted by God, you can scan that first top QR code there, and we'll put the links in the chat as well, I think, and you can contribute financially to LCV, and you can get a tax deduction for that. A tax deduction. Brian's sorting all that out, and so you'll be able to contribute and we'll get an annual tax receipt to you, or if you give through Tithely, you'll get a receipt each time. And we're really encouraging people to partner with us, even if it's just a few dollars a week or a few dollars a month. If you can have your heart in this, because as I'm going to talk about next week in back in our series on how to live like a Christian, where your heart is, where your treasure is, there your heart is. So this might be something you can say, I'm up for this. The bottom one, the expression of interest QR, scan that one. You can complete a form on there, and then our team can get in touch with you. And if you want to find out more about LCV, the projects that we've got planned, where we're at, if you're saying, oh, yeah, I can spend a couple of hours a week volunteering in some areas or whatever it might be, scan that QR code, fill that out, and from there, you'll be able to connect with us, and our team will connect with you, and we'll just make sure that we're all in this together. So it was a very rushed devotion, but I'm conscious that time has gotten away from us this afternoon. Let me stop my screen sharing. Stop share. There we go. And I just thought pray, and then I'll hand back to Desi. Is that okay? Let's pray. Lord, we just, Lord, in this afternoon, as we officially launch this charity, which is already doing such great work, we want to birth it in prayer. We thank you, Lord, that here at C3 Camden, several years ago, before we even had this charity, there were a team of people gathering regularly to pray. Because, Lord, this is your heart. these things that are in the Constitution to care for the destitute, the helpless, those in hardship, the poor. That is your heart. Those that have birthed this in prayer. Lord, we pray that people will be able to contribute their time, their talent, their treasure, their prayers, and that, Lord, your hand would be all over this. In fact, what we are seeing, the amazing work that we've seen in lockdown, in COVID, at C3 Camden already, would just be the beginning. We were praying about this in the pre-service meeting, and Darren was seeing this, and Mario, this word about impact. And Lord, we want to declare that we want to have an impact for you, not so we can say how great we are, not so we can make our name great, but that we can make your name great, that we can bring justice to the hurting, that we can restore people into a sense of hope, that they can find truth and life and peace in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks, Desi. Over to you.
All right.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. We hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by searching C3 Church Camden.